Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday afternoon with myself, Mohammed Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Talking Program. Alhamdulillah, as you know, where we talk, travel. This is a long weekend. Many have traveled away. And whoever is listening to us on Skype or on listening to us on all the different apps that you have, you're most welcome to contribute to our program also. And you enjoy yourself wherever you are and have the best of time wherever you are. Alhamdulillah, with these holidays out here, it was so easy this time. The guys were telling me, and as you look on the calendar, if you have to take 3 days leave, I think, 3 or 4 days leave, you had a full 10 days if you are working. The way this holiday has been set out, that you start your holiday last week, Thursday, Friday was a holiday, some Saturday, Sunday, okay, Monday is a holiday, and I think this weekend also there's a holiday or something like that. So you have a full 10 days. What a lovely way of doing things, getting out of your job for only 4 days and you're having 10 days holiday. Alhamdulillah, fantastic. We've had many, many different requests from different people going out to different destinations. But the common destination is the Far East. And as I mentioned before, we've had lots of queries for the Far East. Although this time around, we've had quite a few people that went out to Spain, southern part of Spain. And I believe the weathers were fantastic. I had some responses from some of the listeners. They sent me messages. In fact, somebody sent me a message this morning also from Spain that they wanted some advice. We advised them accordingly. And fantastic, they had their holiday in Spain with weathers between 18 and 24 degrees. Now, I was expecting at least 10 to 14 degrees according to the weather reports, but they had lovely weathers out there. But obviously, if you're going up above north of Spain, you are going to pick up on colder weathers. So the main thing is, when you're choosing your holiday destination, as I always say, when you're coming towards your mid-year, you're looking at mid-year. In South Africa, we have winters. So your holiday that you choose when it's mid-year is up north. If you're looking at going to the United States of America or you're looking at going anywhere into Europe, the UK, your best time would be between May and I would say September, October. October also not so much because of the weather now slowing down. But from March, April, from April, late April, coming towards May, June, July, the best time to go up to UK. And if you're going further up also, you're looking at the Holland, you're looking at Central Europe. Fantastic. You'll have lovely weather out there during that period of time. But if you're looking at that time, south of the equator, which is now our part, South America, South Africa, Australia, you are going to get colder weathers. So your choice of holidays, your choice of destinations that you want to go to is very important on the time that you're choosing. Now, when it comes to going to the Far East, I always find that you choose any time of the year and you are going to pick up good weathers. But what the downside of choosing the Far East is when you're coming between June, July, I would say early August, very humid across the board. The whole of the Far East, across the board, it is very humid and extremely hot. If you're looking at going down to Thailand, you're looking at Singapore, you're looking at Malaysia, you are sure to just drop yourself away. And also, you just need to hydrate yourself all the time because of the weathers out there. And being humid, it makes you sticky also. So your choice of holidays, your choice of destination is very, very important. I repeat this time and time again. So that is one part of it. And another thing which I want to bring about, we are broadcasting live from Vietnam at the moment. We came here last week, Friday. We are now live in Vietnam. What's it actually? No, not even Friday, man. You know, I'm so lost with it. I didn't even know today was Sunday that we had to get on air. And we left on Wednesday to come to Vietnam, alhamdulillah. Lovely time. The weather is just about perfect. We got temperatures of about 23 to about 26 degrees. Although it's humid, but you have those weathers. I want to just talk of something slightly different from our holiday before we talk of the holiday itself and before we talk of the destination, which you've heard before, but we want to give you a live report on the holiday of where we are. Coming in an aeroplane, I want to just give one or two tips of flying in a plane. I found this time around, people were very, very uncouth, I would say. People were very, they were so when it came to sitting on the seats, they were not considerate at all. Most of the seats that I was looking at, I just took note this time around specifically. People that were sitting on the seats, because it was an evening flight, as soon as they got onto flight, pressed the button when the plane was in mid-air, pressed the button and dropped the seat to the back. And just relax and sit with your seat at the back. Meals came, but you get stubborn people who do not push the seat forward. We as Muslims should not do that. We as Muslims should consider people sitting with us in the plane. We should consider when people want to have meals. We should consider how we conduct ourselves in the plane. It doesn't matter if you don't know the person next to you, but show your akhlaq in the plane. Very important. It's uncomfortable, we know. You're sitting in the economy class, it's uncomfortable. But if you are there, do not make other people's lives uncomfortable. Sacrifice a little from your side. You're not going to be forever on that plane seat. You're going to be there for 7 hours. You're going to be there for 8 hours. In that 7, 8 hours, for half an hour, you're walking around. So consider people that are around you. Consider people that are sitting in front of you. Most important, behind you. And when they're having meals, lift your seat up. Another thing which I found is when people are moving from front to back, they tend to hold the seats as they're going along and they shake the hell out of those seats. And that's what I don't like. Because if you find somebody that's comfortable with their neck pillow sleeping away, don't walk past holding the seat and pushing the seats, because you're just going to inconvenience the person that is sitting at that seat. And it's not fair. It's not fair on anybody that you push them around while they're sitting and relaxing. That is of importance. Another thing, if you know that you have a weak bladder, if you know that you are a person and you are a type of person that if you just have one glass of water, you run 3 times to the toilet. If that is the case, then do me a favor. Don't run for the window seat. Because it doesn't help you to look out of the window when you're disturbing the person next to you when you want to run to the toilet 10 times. So book an aisle seat. You will get aisle seats because everybody wants to get the window seat. But if you have a bladder problem, then sit. And then take an aisle seat. And you are considerate in that way. That alone, Allah will love of yours. So do that and you'll see your journey, your onward journey, wherever you go. Allah will make it easy for you because you were considered from the time you boarded the flight. Another important thing is Salat in the plane. I found something very different this time around. On Emirates Airlines, previously we found that they wouldn't just allow anybody to read namaz just but anyway. And this time around, we found that at the back, they allowed whoever wanted to make Salat to go. They even were so, they were so accommodating that if you did not have your musalla with you, they would give you a blanket, a clean blanket from a plastic and say, put it down and you can make your Salat there. They would close the kitchen curtains and let them make Salat. I saw so many people making Salat in the plane. So like I always say, when you go for holiday, you pack your musalla with you and you pack your Islam with you and you go. Do not leave your Islam in South Africa, because Islam is not only for South Africans in South Africa. You go wherever you are and you practice your deen. Whichever airport you go to, you put your musalla down, nobody's going to bite you. Nobody's going to harm you. You make your salah. Very, very important. Now comes the fun part. Can you hear the waters banging on the walls of our hotel? If you can't, I need to go outside and I want you to hear this. I want to place myself now and tell you where we are sitting. I'm sitting with a group of people that joined us, and we are all together on a holiday, enjoying ourselves, having a ball of a time. And it so happens, today we come to a hotel that is on the beachfront. If picture this. If I'm sitting in the lounge, I lift my eyes, and I look right in front of me, and I see the beach sand. How beautiful is that? The Na'mat of Allah. And I know you guys are listening. But you know what? We're having a ball of a time, alhamdulillah. We are in a place called Munay in Vietnam. It's a laid-back town. What they call it, a one-horse town. One street, a few shops, but there's sand dunes, desert sand dunes. Beautiful. It's just the sand, the white sandy beaches that you see here is what you've seen probably in Seychelles. Or you've seen those pictures of Seychelles. So that's where we are. Alhamdulillah, beautiful. Now, coming to Vietnam, flying into Saigon, driving down into the rural areas, I would say, coming to the town of Munich, it's just beautiful. When I always say one thing, when we talk of Vietnam, up till today, for the last 10 years we've been talking of Vietnam, and Alhamdulillah we changed the perception of Vietnam with many, many, many people. That when I initially spoke of Vietnam, they called me crazy. They called me nuts and said, how can you talk of a place that's a war zone? Where are you sending the people to? And like what I'm doing now, slowly, slowly I'm sending people off to Rwanda. And they're telling me, how can you send us to Rwanda? What a place you're sending us to where there's no food. Kigali is one of the most cleanest cities on the African continent, as I mentioned before. Now, like that, I spoke about Aruba. I spoke about Suriname. And people started going to those places. And likewise, when I started talking about Vietnam, we brought the awareness of this beautiful country. One of the most beautiful cities that you would find is in Vietnam. One of the natural seven wonders of the world, Ha Long Bay, is in Vietnam. Currently, as we sit here, we met many South Africans in Vietnam, and there are many, many others that took itineraries from us and are now in Vietnam enjoying themselves with fantastic weathers. You go up north, you're picking up weathers of plus minus 20, 22, 24 degrees. Down south, you're getting temperatures of about 22 to 26, 28 degrees. Perfect for us, Alhamdulillah. Now, coming to Vietnam, there are many people that choose Vietnam, and why? That's we got to ask, why? We do have the principle of Lanesia lens high. We call it lens high. Now, you know, when we talk of Lanesia, we say Lanesia high. We say, where is that? We say lens high. We have the principle, I would call her Madam Hawa Munshi. Assalamu alaikum, Madam Munshi.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jazakallah for joining me and just being part of our program today. You are here in Vietnam. We've come here. We've come for a holiday all together. First of all, tell me, why Vietnam?
I've listened to you talk about Vietnam on the radio, and Hafiz Anzala, who's a sound engineer at Radio Islam, teaches with me at the school, and he's also spoken about Vietnam. You mentioned Ha Long Bay. I think it was 2012, 2013, it was listed as one of the new wonders of the world. And I've, you know, my husband Fuad and I have always wanted to come. And I think that's what motivated us to get here.
So you're telling me that you listen to me and you come to Vietnam. Must I feel honored? Must I blow my head now? Alhamdulillah. That is now just one perfect example that I'm giving. There are so many people that listened and came to Vietnam. Now, when you said Vietnam, you heard me talking about Vietnam all these years. But obviously, when you talk of a certain place, you talk of a certain country, you talk of a certain person, you paint a picture in the mind of what the country is, or what the city is, or what the town is, or what the person is, or how they look. Your picture of Vietnam, in brief, can you just tell me, when you thought of Vietnam in the first place, what was your first thought of Vietnam?
I think the beauty, you know, when you look at pictures of Vietnam, everything is very beautiful, Ha Long Bay, the colors, the flowers, the fruits, the people. Very friendly, and it's exactly what I've encountered when I've come.
So you obviously got onto the net and you checked all that out. But first, very, very in the beginning, when you heard of Vietnam, give me your notion on Vietnam.
You know, I've watched movies when I was growing up, and all I knew of Vietnam was the Vietnam War. And the word that always came to my mind was Saigon, because you saw the movies and you saw the Americans in Saigon, and so that's all that was on my mind. And when I went onto the net and I investigated, I found that Vietnam was just much more than what was presented to us, you know, in TV, in the movies about the war.
So you saw difference on what you pictured, eh?
Absolutely.
Now, when you came into Saigon, is that what you saw? Obviously, you expected a bit of it, but what you saw, was it beyond your expectations?
It was. Vietnam's beautiful. The weather seemed good. We visited the Kuchi tunnels. It was amazing to see what had happened during the time of the war and how they've used it as an opportunity to create tourism in the country.
Exactly. Now, when you say the Kuchi tunnels, if you're talking, Megan just spoke of Kuchi tunnels. When we say Kuchi tunnels, it's a network of tunnels underground, which the Americans were on the top. They never knew that there was a network at the bottom, and there was a whole, I would call it a city at the bottom, a city of operation. and that's where they operated from to fight the enemy. And it's amazing how they did it. How they went into the ground, how they came out, the holes that they dug. That there was certain places and certain points in the tunnels. That the way it's set up, that if you had to throw in, if you think of a tunnel, and if you say, okay, I'm going to put a whole fire brigade hose pipe in there and I'm going to flood the place, it will get flooded. Believe me, the way they designed these tunnels, that even you can get the biggest flood, it will not flood in the tunnels. That's how beautiful and how brilliant these Vietnamese were. And they did a fantastic thing underground. And what they did was their weapons also, the way they used their weapons. And when we went into the Kuchi Tunnel, and when you saw all the artillery and how they used it, what was your first thought of the Vietnamese people?
You know, they were very industrious for their time. They didn't have many weapons, and so if you looked in the tunnel, you looked at what they did. You know, they had a hospital there, they had a meeting room there. The kind of warfare that they used bamboo, they sharpened it, and so, you know, the American soldiers stepped on it, they'd fall in and they'd injure themselves. And I think they were a very industrious nation, and that is why they were able to get the Americans to leave Vietnam.
Well, that's brilliant the way they did it, because as you said, they do it with bamboo. Now, who would think that you'd make weapons with bamboo, where these guys would get stuck into bamboo and would never survive from there? So it's amazing of how they operated and how they thought of doing things. For example, the small little hole that goes into the tunnel. You know, all I can say is, when I think of that particular small little hole, the Chinamans, we know they're all small. The whole world of Chinamans are small. But to get into such a small hole, within seconds they're in the hole with hundreds of them going in, it's like, and when they're coming out, it's like a whale giving birth, I would say. And that's how it is. And they networked at the bottom. Now that amazed us, alhamdulillah. Now when it comes to more than that, when it comes to the country town itself, Brother Fuad Ali, you also, you join Madam Hawa Munshi, coming here, and your thought, obviously, you, as Madam just says, that you went out and checked on the net and you got some pictures, but obviously, as a man now who watches those movies then, what was your thought of Vietnam as a country as a whole?
I think in the beginning, my impressions around Vietnam was it was a war-torn country that had been destroyed by the Americans. And also, my impression was it would be a rundown country.
That is a thought of everybody, because from the beginning, 10 years ago when I came, that was the first thing that I also came with packet soup. I came with that Shan spice terkari, and I brought all that with me, thinking I'm going to have to sort that out to get food. I also brought some boxed milk with me, thinking that I'm not going to get milk at all. But when I came, and believe me, I packed half a bag of 200 noodles even. I thought, you know, I'm going to survive on this. But when I came here, it was something totally different.
Yeah, I absolutely am with you, Mohammed. My impression of Vietnam since arriving through the airport is that Vietnam is a country that has miraculously brought itself into the 21st century and is quickly moving to become one of the fastest developing countries in the world, probably. From the airport, as you travel towards Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City, it's the actual name now, the development that you see, infrastructure development, you can just take electricity, for example. The development that's taking place there, the use of LED technology, these are all developments which we are lagging behind in South Africa, and it leads one to the impression that this country is definitely fast leaving itself into the 21st century.
From the development that you're talking of, I looked as we were coming from Saigon to Munich, the guide showed us all the buildings, the development, and he gave us the values of all that development that's taking place. Were you shocked by his information that he imparted to us?
Absolutely. I must say I was shocked because, you know, going back to my initial thoughts around Vietnam, my thoughts was that this would be a country that would be run down. Little did I expect that it would be such a developed country. There's development in process, but the pace at which the development is taking place is extremely rapid.
Now, you're talking of the pace. Now, if you look at what you saw now in Saigon, what you see here in Munich, is this where we are at the moment? These places, all these that we are in at the moment, Now this was the killing fields. So you can imagine what it was like during the time of the war where everything was flat. And that what you saw came up in the last 30, 35 years, I would say. And having this development in 30, 35 years, I think South Africa went back 35 years from what we see what's happening here.
I agree. I think Vietnam is nothing short of the word miracle. To do that in 35 years is absolutely phenomenal for a country. And I think in terms of South Africa, there's a lot of lessons we can learn from Vietnam.
You see, it's the development that's taking place, first of all. Why? Because of dedication. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Gremlins in the system again, as we know it from the other part of the world, we're having gremlins. Normally, coming from Vietnam, doing a broadcast from Dubai, doing a broadcast from Malaysia, crystal clear. Today, I don't know. So I don't think it's our network. I think it's our system. I think we need to get telecom sorted out now, inshallah. But good as it means, what we'll do is, we are talking about the development in Saigon, development in Vietnam as a whole. As I said, dedication of these people. You meet human beings dedicated to work, and they are not shy to work. They would work day and night to get things done. That they start a development, and within 3 to 6 months, the place is up already. That is dedication. They don't start in the morning at 8 o'clock. They have coffee till 9 o'clock. Then go and change your clothes till 10 o'clock and then start working, and at 12 o'clock they're gone for lunch. Not like that. The Vietnamese are dedicated workers. They may just eat noodles and not pap, but they are dedicated workers, alhamdulillah. Now when it comes to the city itself, as we saw, we spoke of developed, understood. What do you think about their transport system?
I think the transport system it's not as developed as in the developed world. It's quickly gaining ground in that area. There's a lot of use, efficient use of motor vehicles here. People don't travel between people in a motor vehicle. A lot of them use motorbikes. There's a vast amount of motorbikes on the road when you see that. But the infrastructure in terms of the roads network is fairly good. You can move from place to place, as we have seen. Also, the use of technology is ahead of us in that sense. The robot system uses LED, so timing on the robots. For example, if you come to a robot and the robot's there, the robot will actually tell you you've got 60 seconds to wait, and then it counts down. These are all developments which I think we are lacking back in South Africa, and it's things that we could adopt to make our country a better country.
Absolutely. That is one simple thing we talk of, and that is dedication and also the use of technology. That's what Vietnam has done. I call them Chinamans. They are not Chinamans. These guys, these Vietnamese, there's a different level of this with these people. The Chinese people are different compared to the Vietnamese people. These are some of the people I talk about. Now, when we talk of the transport system, the taxi system is excellent. They've got hundreds of taxis. You just pick up your finger and you have a taxi in front of you. They are currently busy with an underground rail system. So they're busy with it for the last year, I think. They're busy with it because it's obviously a major project which they're undertaking. It's now in the city of Saigon. They believe that, alhamdulillah. So that will also help. Now, if they can link the city of Saigon with Hanoi, Da Nang, Hue, if they can link up all that, it will be an amazing place to travel. It will be so easy to travel. And, you know, it's just that the mere fact that you come to a place, you want ease and comfort when you get to your hotel. You want ease when you get out of the hotel. You don't want difficulty, and that's what Vietnam offers. We do have Faisal Amoji, who's here from Durban, and who's joined us also. Now, Faisal, he's traveled for a while, and he was nervous in the first place. He thought he's coming to a war zone. He asked, are we allowed to take our weapons with us, which I told him you cannot carry weapons on flight. And he had to leave his knives behind, because I believe he's a knife guy, but he had to leave his knives behind. There's no problems in this country now. Faisal, in the first place, asked, what about food? What about all these difficulties that people talk about in different countries? Vietnam is no different. Brother Faisal, what was your thought and what was your surprise, I would say, in the beginning?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. First, I want to say thank you to Mr. Mohammed Sambat for giving us this opportunity to travel with him. We have a lot of concerns when thinking about traveling, and he puts all of these issues at rest. And I don't think I can say much. I'll be sending the place. It seems when you talk on travel programs that, you know, book a ticket and come here. I'll just say put your trust in Allah, put your trust in what he offers, and book your flight on the next one and come. He will surprise you. Every single stop, every destination, just unpack the surprise. And we haven't been disappointed yet. There are big challenges that come up, but just put your adventure cap on. It's a culinary destination, so you're not going to eat, get accustomed to taste that you're used to at home, but it's all with traveling. So if you come with that kind of mindset, you'll go home with bags of memories.
Alhamdulillah, are you enjoying yourself? And I hope you're not going out when we don't see you there in the hotel. I hope you're not going out to eat the Vietnamese food, yeah?
I think if my wife is happy, I'm happy.
To try the Vietnamese food, alhamdulillah. It's the most bland food that you will get in Vietnam. And I find difficulty to get that food down myself. So fantastic, alhamdulillah, what we do is we get our own chow prepared here. Fantastic. We got our own cooked food, and that's what we enjoy most. But I think for the next 3 days, we should leave you to eat Vietnamese food, because you're talking about culinary and all those things, you are beating us, you know.
But Muhammad makes it, sound so simple, but at the same time, he makes it that simple. So I give a lot of credit to Muhammad. He really goes out of the way to accommodate each and every passenger that goes with him.
I want you to sell Vietnam, don't sell me.
You make the destination worth coming to Muhammad, so I don't want to sell the place. Everybody can Google it and get all the information they want. I was very concerned, but I think I'm in good hands.
Alhamdulillah. That's why I always say, and when I talk about Vietnam for the last eight years or 9 years, I'm talking about Vietnam, I say one thing. Vietnam, I love it. Because Vietnam is a beautiful place. And you're still going to be surprised when you go up to Ha Long Bay. Brother, that's what you're going to see. Ha Long Bay, you're going to see Vietnam at its best. One of the 700 of the world. You get into Ha Long Bay. Many of us heard of Ha Long Bay, and when you talk of Ha Long Bay, it's got all those little mountains in the ocean. And you have your cruise ship that's now weaving through those mountains. And you have caves in between. And you have places where you can swim. And then you have a place where they do kayaking. And that is Ha Long Bay. And the weather in Ha Long Bay is fantastic at the moment. We're looking at about 20, today as we speak, it's 26 degrees Celsius. Beautiful. So tell me, you're looking forward to going further, or you're going to sit here and eat your culinary things?
I just trust that what Muhammad is offering is going to take us by surprise, and we're not going to be let down.
I might tell you one thing. Yesterday, we went to the Kuchi Tunnels, and we found a very proud woman, very, very proud woman, because she found a seat, a stone seat. And on the seat, it was written, Badat. So she thought, Auntie Farida Badat thought that seat was hers. She immediately went and she now looked to see the bottom at the bottom or what it is, because she wants to take the seat home. But she couldn't, because Auntie Farida, who is with her, sat on the seat, and she didn't want to go into the Kuchi Tunnels because she says Marunam Urche. Auntie Farida, Jazakallah for joining us. And when you sat on that seat, I was afraid that you're not going to leave that seat because your name was on there. And I was just so fascinated that your name, Badat, was on the seat, but not Frida Badat, it's not yours. So, Bidamiche.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. The only thing I can say about Vietnam is the beautiful people I'm living with and the lovely shopping that I've been to.
The shopping. Where's all the colors go and it's in shopping. There are some of the country. These are shopping lines. Because please, Auntie Farida, we're going out into Munich tomorrow morning. We don't want you to do shopping. We want you to make Madaya.
Inshallah, Muhammad, I did lots of shopping. I haven't finished yet. I've still got to buy a few things. And inshallah, I'll do it before I go.
You don't want to do shopping again. You know, we got the two sisters here. We got Auntie Suraya Yusuf also, Suraya Yusuf Ghazi, she and Auntie Farida, two sisters. The two of them, I think, from the whole lot that are here, Vietnam is only for them in the shopping part of it. They will delay everybody because they want to go shopping. Okay, that's what happened at the moment. But anyway, shopping drops of intensity. What we expect, the thing is, when we come to Vietnam, from home, lots of people say that everything is manufactured in Vietnam, you can get everything in Vietnam. Yes, you can. But one thing was red tape, I would call it. There's lots of branded stuff manufactured here because of labor costs, manufactured in the country. But lots of it is not sold here. It is sent out of the country and comes back into the country at higher prices. So you find that you find it difficult to find things as you think you would find at the prices you would expect. Because if you take a techie and you look underneath the tongue of the techie and it's made in Vietnam. But when I come to Vietnam, so many people send me pictures from wherever they are and say, you're going to Vietnam this week or next week and everything. Do you know if I send you a picture, it's made in Vietnam, please can you get me a size 4 or size 5 or everything. You can't find it like that. Unfortunately, it's not like that. So if all your family or your friends came to Vietnam and came back and didn't bring for you the stuff you wanted, don't blame them. Don't say Jutta. Don't say they're lying that they didn't bring it because they didn't want to bring it. Believe me, you can't find certain things. You expect to find it, but you can't find it because that's the way politics go. Manufactured, done for another country, and it is like that. So it's not that they don't want to bring it for you, and that's what it is. But I don't know where the two sisters went, but they got everything they wanted. So we leave them, let them do shopping, but the problem is now, they need space to bring all their baggage home. I don't know how they're going to do that. Anyway, they're going to have your car going through everything. But that's the way you see some people want it like that. They're going to let them live like that. What are you going to do? And another thing now, you know, when you come to Vietnam, there are many, many, many people asking for itineraries. There's so many places to go when you come into Vietnam. You come down into Saigon or you come into Hanoi. My advice to you is when you fly into Vietnam, you fly into one city and out of another city. When I say that, I mean north and south. Vietnam is an elongated S. The way, if you look at Vietnam on a map, you have Hanoi on the top and you have Saigon at the bottom. Both those countries, you have international airports in both those cities, you have international airports. People tend to book a ticket which will work out slightly cheaper. You're flying into Saigon and flying out of Saigon. Not thinking and realizing that you need a flight to go up to Hanoi. When you finish in Hanoi, you will come back to Saigon. You need a flight back again. So you are now, you're spending that little by wasting time. So you fly into Saigon or you fly into Hanoi and you fly out of the opposite city. And then what you do is internally, many people ask me, can you bus down or can you train down from north? You cannot. I don't think you can, but it's not feasible for us to do because of the time factor. Because of coming from north, it takes you from Saigon to Hanoi. It's a two-hour flight. So if you're taking a train, the scenery is beautiful. It's just amazing what you'll see. But your time factor, it will take you a long time to go from top to bottom. So fly from north to south or south to north. Now, there is another place which is very, very common. It's a tourist destination, which is in the middle of the country. And that is Da Nang. And you're looking at Hoi An, which is next to Da Nang. Da Nang has got a national airport. And then you have Nha Trang, which also has a national airport. And they're building an international airport at the moment. So your flight, there's ease of flights in the country. So when you fly in, for example, Saigon, from here, you want to go to Da Nang Hoi An. You fly into Da Nang Hoi An, you visit those places, you stay over there. From there, you fly up to Hanoi. So you make it easy for yourself in that direction. Now, when it comes to wanting an itinerary, do not choose where you say, or where you plan your holidays. You're flying into Saigon, you're going to Hanoi, from there you go to Da Nang and Hoi An to visit. You just make it more difficult. Do it in the sequence that I'm telling you. Hoi An and Da Nang is in the middle of the country. So if you're going from the bottom, your first stop would be either Da Nang or Nha Trang, and then you fly up to Hanoi. Vice versa, from Hanoi, you fly down that way. Do not go directly. You are going to be wasting your time. There are many people who are in Vietnam at the moment. I know of a few that contacted me this morning, and there was one woman that texted me last night, WhatsApped me last night. They are in Vietnam. They needed some assistance, and they needed to find out what was the previous way. And that's what I'm telling you, is what she told me. That they were flying from Saigon, they were flying up to Hanoi, and then they wanted to go into Da Nang. which I said, that is not the right thing to do. And lucky for her, she didn't book her tickets to go into Da Nang. She asked first, and then she said, okay, we'll do it accordingly. Like that, we get many, many queries. Because, alhamdulillah, we are synonymous to Vietnam. So people want to know, and they ask us about these things, and we can advise you accordingly. And when it comes to food, be very, very careful. Be very careful, just eat it anyway. It is not safe. Believe me when I tell you, it is not safe. When they tell you it's halal, it is not safe. Be very careful, because your iman is at stake. Very important. And that has been a problem for the last 8 or 10 years when it comes to Vietnam. Food is a bit of a problem. Oh, no, no, it's not a but it's a major problem. So you can just eat China food only, I think. You can eat China food. But anyway, be that as it may, fruits in abundance. When you come to Vietnam, you must eat durian. Please must eat durian. It's the best you'll ever get. It tastes the best. But just close your nose and eat it. That's all. Beautiful. We are in Vietnam, inshallah. We are going to be having a ball of a time for now in a place called Munich. So if you are coming to Vietnam, visit Munich. You'll never go wrong. From here, we go to the village that we always talk about, where we meet the Bani people that believe that the Kaaba had been destroyed over 700 years ago. We're going to meet those people. And alhamdulillah, we're fortunate enough that they have arranged for a lunch meal with us, together with 10 old people, including 5 of the Hakims and 5 of the Bani Imams. And that is something that I think we're going to have. It's going to make history for us. And that's going to go in our diaries. Of something that is unique, which has never happened before. And it's going to happen the day after tomorrow, inshallah. So the thing that I am with, we're looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to eating home-cooked chicken curry and rice. Cooked by the Vietnamese people, the Alipur and the Convert style. That's what we're going to eat, inshallah. Because we're going to have a good time, inshallah. We're going to have a ball of a time. So if you are, if you want to join us, we are in Munich. Look for us while you are in Vietnam. Join us and we're going to keep together in the village, inshallah. For myself, Muhammad Lambat, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.